You have your Bible, 1 Samuel, chapter number 16. You can be seated. You can sit down. Thank you. It's a joy to be here this morning. It's good to be at Howells Anderson College. I hear some of that intelligence that Pastor Wilkerson was talking about a while ago. It is good to be here. And thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to come. And I appreciate the ministry of Pastor Wilkerson. We love Brother Ray Young. Brother Ray Young has preached many times at my dad's church, Faith Baptist Church in Gulfport. I believe that Brother Ray Young has preached there the second most outside of First Baptist Church and then in Walkertown. He's preached there more than any other church in America there at Faith Baptist in Gulfport. And we love Dr. Young very much. And so once again, Pastor Wilkerson, thanks for allowing us to come. I do want my mom and dad to stand. I want to introduce them. And my mom and dad, it's good to have them here this morning. And I can promise you that the message today will be nothing like yesterday. And I'm still working on that, but it's good to have Taylor and Dawn as well. They are my two little sisters. And then, of course, my brother Jonathan, you heard him yesterday, and he spoke. And he's here with his wife Amber, both graduated from Howells Anderson College. And then his boys are there with him. And then my two sons, Quitman and David, would you stand? And this is Quitman and David. And I wanted to set them up on a date today, but they're probably not quite old enough yet. And so, but you know, it's bad that whenever you have boys, two sons, and I'm not even their favorite preacher. And their favorite preacher is their grandpa. They have a grandpa pastor, and then they have a Paul and Brother Crane. And then Abdel Judah walked in, and Abdel Judah is their favorite preacher more than I am their favorite preacher. And so, but in a way, so I'm working on them. But I know Quitman sure loves Brother Abdel Judah, and we appreciate Brother Abdel as well. He's preached there at the Deep South Youth Conference that my brother hosts at Faith Baptist Church many times. And my wife is unable to be here. She graduated from Howells Anderson back in 2007. My little girl had a little surgery last week, and so she needed to stay home. And so she's unable to be here. It is good to see Pastor Jason Wofford here and a good friend. And he and his wife, they are tearing it up in Arkansas. They just had a big day of over 1,000 people there at their church. And, man, he is getting it done there in Arkansas. I really appreciate him and his friendship. And it's good to hear Independent Baptist Church here, Pastor Creed, and with Capital Connection, and appreciate their ministry and what they have going on there on the hill. And once again, Pastor Wilkerson, thanks for allowing us to come. If you have your Bibles, 1 Samuel, and 1 Samuel chapter number 16, 1 Samuel chapter number 16. Once you've found your place, if you'll stand with me, 1 Samuel chapter number 16. 1 Samuel chapter number 16. We'll start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." Now drop down to verse number 11. "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for this day that you've given to us. Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity to be able to stand and preach. And Lord, I pray that for the next 25, Lord, to 27 minutes, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts. Lord, I pray that, Lord, if this message, Lord, will help each and every young person that is here, each and every preacher that is here. And Lord, I pray that we will take this message and we will apply it to our lives. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the ministry here at Howes Anderson College, or the ministry of First Baptist Church of Hammond. Lord, I'm so thankful for this great church. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that this church has been a lighthouse for many generations. And Lord, this college has sent out preachers, Lord, not just all over America, but Lord, all over the world. Lord, I think about, Lord, one of my best friends, Mark Holmes, Lord, missionary in Nigeria, Lord, just doing a great job. Lord, I thank you for him. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you will bless this day. Bless us, help us, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know the story, very familiar passage that we just read here in 1 Samuel chapter number 16. Saul had disobeyed what God had said, and so Samuel had went and told Saul, you know, that God was taking the kingdom away from him. And God told Samuel, I want you to go down, and I want you to go to Jesse's house, and I want you to anoint what is going to be the next king of Israel. You know the story. Samuel goes down, and he begins to talk to Jesse, and he talks to all of his boys. Jesse brings his boys in, and God says, as each one comes in, God says, no, he's not the one. We get down to verse number 11, and Samuel said to Jesse, do you have any more children? And Jesse said, yeah, I have one more son. His name is David, and he's a ruddy young man and fair countenance. And Samuel said, go get him. I want you to bring him in. So David comes in, and immediately Samuel knew that this who was going to be the next king over Israel. And so Samuel anointed him to be king. There was some time had passed, and if you get over to 1 Samuel 17, and now the Philistines have set a battle array against Israel. And so you have Goliath is coming out, and Goliath is cursing, and Goliath is defying, and Goliath is challenging a man to come out to fight him from among the nation of Israel. Well, Jesse had went to his son David, and Jesse had said to David, David, I want you to take these cheeses, and I want you to go down to where the battle has been set to array, and I want you to talk to the captains of your brothers, and I want you to talk to your brothers, and bring me back a good report, and bring me back and let me know what's happening. And so David goes down there. You know the story. David ends up fighting and killing Goliath. It was a great battle. I love the story. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible of David in 1 Samuel 17. And whenever David challenges, or David runs out and he takes that slingshot and he slings it over and he kills and he smites the Philistine. He smites Goliath. He runs up and he cuts off his head. Now jump over to 1 Samuel chapter number 18. All of that has transpired. All of that has happened. All of that has taken place. Now you have David is living there in the capital. He is playing the harp for Saul as the evil spirit would come upon Saul. And all of these things have happened, and all of things have transpired. And now look at 1 Samuel 18 and look at verse number 6. Verse number 6, the Bible says, and it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more than the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And so now you have Saul, he is eyeing David at once. You know, whenever he saw David as an ally, he saw David as one that was there to help. Now he was eyeing David, and the Bible tells us that Saul began to get very jealous, and he began to get very envious of David. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that when David one time was playing the harp for Saul, that Saul took a javelin. And Saul took that javelin, and I have here a javelin that we're going to use for today. And the Bible tells us that Saul took that javelin, and he cast it at David with the intention of killing David. Saul, I'm sure as we all know, Saul was a mighty warrior. And the Bible tells us that David had to get out of the way, and David had to move very quickly. But it didn't just happen one time. It happened a second time where Saul took the javelin, and he threw it to try to kill David. And once again, he missed David. Young people, listen to me very carefully. You are at a great place here at Hiles Anderson College, and many of you are working bus routes, and you're getting ready to maybe leave here soon and to go pastor a church, and you're getting ready to maybe go be an assistant pastor or work in a school and maybe even here. But as you are preparing here at college to go out and to work in a church and to do great things for God, and as you're doing great things for God here, don't you think for a second that the devil doesn't have a Saul that is getting ready to try to pierce you against the wall? Understand that there's a Saul out there, and that Saul is going to come after you, and that Saul is going to do everything that he can to try to destroy you. As you're getting ready here to go into the ministry, there is a Saul that is getting ready. They're going to be jealous. They're going to be envious. There's going to be things that they're going to try to do in order to try to destroy what God has planned for you. There's a Saul for each and every one of us. There's a Saul for you. There's a Saul for me, and that Saul is sitting there, and as you're doing great things and as you're accomplishing what God has for you, there's a Saul that is going to be jealous, there's a Saul that is going to be envious, and there is a Saul that is going to try to destroy your life. This morning, I want to preach just a few moments on this, on how to overcome your Saul. How to overcome your Saul. Maybe you might face a Saul here at Bible College. I would hope that wouldn't be the case, but you never know. You could face a Saul at Bible College. You could face a Saul in your family. You could face a Saul at where you work at. You could face a Saul in the church that you pastor. You could face a Saul in the church that you work at as an assistant pastor. A Saul can come in all shapes, forms, and fashions. A Saul could be a relative. A Saul could be, unfortunately, a pastor. A Saul could be anyone. I mean, Satan doesn't care what he uses to try to destroy you, but understand this, that he is going to try to destroy you. And so I want to give you just a few things this morning that I think can help you on how to overcome your Saul. Let me give you the first thing. Look at 1 Samuel chapter number, go to 1 Samuel chapter number 18. 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel 18, and look at verse number 1. 1 Samuel 18 and verse number 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Let me tell you the first thing is this, that realize that everything that Saul produces isn't bad. Realize that everything that Saul produces isn't bad. Now I want to ask you a question this morning, and just think on it for a second. What would have happened if David would have taken the javelin as Saul threw the javelin and it stuck in the wall? If David would have grabbed the javelin and thrown it back? Do you think that the relationship that Jonathan and David had, do you think that it would have ever gotten to the place where it gotten that God used what Saul produced in order to save David from his Saul? But David didn't take the javelin, and David didn't throw it back. David didn't attack back with words, or David didn't take the javelin and try to kill Saul. If David had killed Saul, then the relationship that David and Jonathan had would have never matured, and it would have never been a good relationship. There would have never been the story of David and Mephibosheth whenever David brought him back into the kingdom. I mean, it was a lot of things that David was able to accomplish because David didn't try to attack and go after his Saul. Listen to me very carefully, young people. As you go into the ministry and as you pastor a church or as you're an assistant pastor somewhere, you're going to have some Sauls, and you're going to be tempted to want to throw the javelin back. But understand this, that Saul has some children that need to be reached. Understand this, that Saul has some relatives that need to be reached. And if you get into the javelin throwing business, you're never going to reach Saul's family. So many times in ministry, people attack the pastor, people attack you, and they come after you. And if you get into the javelin-throwing ministry, your potential or the ministry that God has called you to will never reach its full potential if you become a javelin thrower. We don't need more javelin throwers. What we need are men of God who will say, you know what, whenever Saul might be throwing a javelin, I understand that everything that Saul produces isn't bad. I'm going to go after Saul's family. I'm going to go after Saul's boys. I'm going to go after Saul's grandchildren. And I'm going to do everything that I can to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, whenever you get into the ministry or even here, you're going to have those that are going to attack you. They're going to come after you. But understand that everything that Saul produces isn't bad. I like this. And number two, realize that God will use your Saul to get you where you need to be. God will use your Saul to get you where you need to be. Think about Joseph for a second. Did Joseph have a Saul? Absolutely. Joseph had to solve. Remember his brothers? His brothers wanted to kill him. His brothers ended up putting him in a pit, and then they sold him into slavery. I mean, it was all kind of things that Joseph was facing and that Joseph was up against. But what was happening was God was using Joseph Saul's to get Joseph where he needed to be. Joseph needed to be down in Egypt. There was a famine coming. There was going to be 7 years of famine, and the world was going to need Joseph to be there in Egypt to help as far as feeding people and getting people food. And so God was using Joseph Saul's to get him where he needed to be. And God will do the same thing in your life. God is going to use a Saul to get you where you need to be spiritually. God is going to use a Saul to help mature you and to help grow you. There were several times in the ministry working with my dad, and I had the privilege of working, you know, with my dad for 17 years, and we had a lot of great conversations. And my dad and I don't think we ever had in 17 years. I don't think we've ever had one argument or one fight in 17 years. Now him and my brother, that's a completely different story, and they've had plenty of them and along the way. And I'm picking, of course, on Jonathan and my dad. But I can remember my dad maybe not saying this verbatim, but he was saying this along the lines, Dan, God is using that person to help get you where you need to be spiritually. You ever heard of sandpaper? What does sandpaper do? Sandpaper smooths out. Maybe a painter and you painting and whenever you take that sandpaper and you paint and you use it on a wall and you're trying to get that wall where it needs to be so that you can put the paint. And God does the same thing with people. God is going to bring people in your life that he is going to use as sandpaper to get you where you need to be. Do you all understand that God is still working on you? And God is still working on me. And God is going to use people to get us where we need to be spiritually. I'm thankful for the Sauls that God brings in our life. I think about Daniel. And Daniel had some Sauls in his life. And matter of fact, his Sauls got him put in a lion's den. But yet there you have Daniel and you have Joseph, and they knew the importance of not throwing or not attacking back. And God used Sauls to get Daniel where he needed to be. I think about in the Bible, in the book of Esther with Mordecai, and how God used Mordecai Saul to get Esther where she needed to be as far as going before the king and saving much people alive. I'm here to tell you this morning, listen to me very carefully, that there are going to be some Sauls in your life. They're going to come with a javelin, and they're going to try to attack you. They're going to lie about you. They're going to say things about you. They're going to be jealous of you. They're going to be envious of you, and they're going to try to destroy you. And you and I, we do not need to be in the ministry of throwing the javelin back. We don't need to be in that ministry of throwing the javelin back, but we need to understand that everything that Saul produces is a bad, and we need to understand this, that God will use your Saul to get you where you need to be. I love that. Next, our goal should not be to destroy our Saul, but our goal should be to learn to love our Saul. Learn to love our Saul. David, but wouldn't it be, just think about the story of David. And as you have Saul here, and as he is throwing, you're talking about a mature Christian. It will take a mature Christian to love the person that is trying to destroy you. And you know, I'm going to tell you one thing that I'm afraid of that we're missing today in our independent fundamental Baptists. I'm going to tell you there's one thing that I believe that we're missing, and that is, one, people that are spiritual to restore such a one, but then secondly, we are missing people that are just mature enough to just love people who are trying to attack you. In the Christian life, it's going to happen. In the Christian life, look, I know how, we get excited. Pastor Wilkerson, you know, he mentioned about, you know, we took the church in Slidell three years ago, and it was 3 Sundays before COVID hit. And I remember going to Community Baptist Church, and boy, I was excited, and I was looking forward to all that God was going to do, and it was a small church, and we're still a very small church, and I had learned all of these things at faith, you know, working underneath my dad about soul winning and discipleship and Sunday school classes and choirs and special music and how to work with people and all of these things. You know, I was excited. We're going to go to Slidell, and we're going to build the largest church of Slidell. We're going to have the largest church in Louisiana. You just give us a little bit of time, and then 3 Sundays later, COVID hit. Everything is shut down and we're having church in a parking lot. We have people sitting in cars listening through the radio. And I ask God, is this the right time? I mean, God, what are we doing here? But it just was a Community Baptist Church. It was all of us. We was all in this together. And there was Saul with that javelin. Oh, Saul's going to come. Saul's going to attack. And our goal should not be to destroy our Saul, but to learn to love our Saul. Let me ask you a question. Do you love your enemy? Do you love your enemy? The person that is, there will be, the person that trying to destroy, do you love them? Do you care for them? Do you pray for them? That person that's in college with you, your roommate that you don't, that might get on your nerves a little bit. Does anybody have a roommate like that that gets on your nerves? I understand. Sometimes me and my roommate, we get into it every once in a while. I can understand how would it be. Learning to love your roommate today is going to help you learn to love that deacon that's going to get on your nerves later on. Learning to love your college roommate, or learning to love the person that you go to college with, is going to help you learn. It's going to help you learn how to love that person in your church that is just unlovable. That is true Christianity. Our goal should not be to destroy our soul, but learn to love our soul. Now, let me give you this number next. If you take your eyes off of what God has planned for you, then your soul will destroy you. If you take your eyes off of what God has planned for you, then your soul will destroy you. Oh, there's been many a preacher. They go to Bible college and they're excited about Bible college and they're standing up on the chairs and they're waving their Bibles and they're shouting amen and they're clapping and they're enjoying the music and they're enjoying soul winning and they're enjoying the bus ministry and they're enjoying all these things, and then Saul comes. Or they graduate from Bible college and they get into their church and they're excited about building a church and reaching people with the gospel and they're starting bus routes and they're starting Sunday school classes and they're taking men out to, you know, for discipleship and they're doing all of these things, and then Saul comes. And Saul waves his ugly head, and as Saul gets the javelin, and as Saul throws the javelin, what happens is, for some people, in some cases, is they'll take the javelin out of the wall, and they'll take their eyes off of God. They'll take their eyes off of what God is trying to do, and they'll put their eyes on Saul. You and I need to learn to love our Saul, but don't pay the Saul any attention. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on Him. And whenever Saul is attacking, I look to the cross. Whenever Saul's attacking, I look at the nails that is in Jesus' hand. Whenever Saul's attacking, I look at what Christ did for me. And whenever Saul comes and I look to Christ and I look to the cross, we can handle anything that Saul throws. But so many times people take their eyes off of Jesus and they put it on Saul. And they become a castaway in the ministry. They don't reach their full potential because Saul is victorious in their life. When Saul doesn't have to be victorious, you can have victory over your Saul through Christ and keeping your eyes off on Him. I want to give you just a few things this morning now on how to not become a Saul. Well, I believe that sometimes preachers can become a Saul. They get jealous of the growth of a church across town. They get jealous of a bus route, how this other bus route is growing, and they become jealous and envious. And you hear about a big day. You know, this person had, you know, they had so many people in church, and yeah, but did you hear what they had to do to get that many people there? Yeah, but, and all of a sudden now you're becoming a Saul. You're becoming exactly what you don't want to become. You're becoming what we preach against. And now all of a sudden you're getting jealous, and preachers can get just as jealous as anybody else. And preachers can become envious just as anybody else. Hey, we hear about another church that's growing. We are to be excited about that. Man, my friend back there, Jason Wofford, just had over 1,000 a couple weeks ago, and I say this sincerely, I am excited about what God is doing in his life. The man built a youth department in Mississippi. He was building a great church in North Carolina. God moved him over to Arkansas, and he's building a great church there. Hey, we're to be rooting on each other. We are on the same team. That is, if you're born again saved, we're on the same team. We're to be rooting each other on. We shouldn't become a Saul. But unfortunately, there are so many preachers and so many preachers' wives that become a Saul. They become jealous and envious. And they become a Saul. I want to give you just a few things on how to not become a Saul. The first thing is, humble yourself. Humble yourself. You know what Saul should have been doing? Here's what Saul should have done. When those women were singing, David had his 10,000. Saul, Do you understand who David was killing, right? You do understand that David was killing all of Saul's enemies. If you would have been me, I'd have given David a raise. Right, we're going to give David a pay raise. We're going to make David the general. We're going to make David a five-star general. David is over killing the Philistines. That is David's role. That is David's responsibility. That's what Saul should have done. At least looking back at the story, that's what I would have hoped that I would have done. David is out there killing Saul's enemies. But yet then Saul gets jealous and envious. Saul was the king. Saul should have been rejoicing. Saul should have had a special dinner. Saul should have found out what David's favorite meal was. Chicken fried chicken, white gravy, I'm sure, is what David liked, with a side of mac and cheese and an order of dumplings with sweet tea. And you take those biscuits with that grape jelly. And when you go to Cracker Barrel, don't just let them give you that little butter in a packet. Tell them you want pancake butter. And they bring out that butter, and you smear it on that, and you smear it on that biscuit. That's what Saul should have done. Saul should have said, bring in the fatted calf. Go get a ring, and let's give it to him. Give him a new sword. Hey, give David whatever he wants. Half the kingdom is his. He's out here killing my enemies. But that's not what Saul did. Saul got jealous and envious and ended up losing the kingdom. And so many preachers will lose their ministry because of jealousy and envy. Oh, they're still in the pulpit preaching. But they've already lost the kingdom. Saul was still king, but he had already lost the kingdom. Oh, they're still up preaching on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They still even go soul winning, but they've already lost the kingdom because jealousy and envy's been taken over because they wasn't willing to humble themselves. You and I need to learn to humble ourselves. We are to learn to be excited for what God's doing. When you read 1 Samuel chapter number 17, I think it's verse number 15, or verse number 25, the last part there, it says, whenever David was checking on his brothers and David was down, the Bible says that David shouted for the battle. And what David was doing was, David was encouraging and David was shouting for those that was in the battle, those that were there trying to fight to keep him safe and to keep him free. David was cheering them on in the battle. And you and I, as God-fearing Christians and as preachers and as preachers' wives and as whatever it is that God has called you to do, what you and I are to be doing, we are to be shouting for those in the battle. We're to be cheering on people that are in the ministry serving God, not getting jealous and envious. So the first thing is how to not become a Saul. Learn to humble yourself. The second thing, and I'll move quickly because we need to finish, is learn to be thankful for people. Learn to be thankful for. It's hard to be jealous of someone that you're thankful for. It's hard to have your heart full of envy when you're thankful for them. It's hard to be criticizing and talking about, you know, people that you're thankful for and that you're praying for. Encouraging and uplift others. That's something that David had learned. Surround yourself with good people. That's going to help you not become a Saul. Hey, learn to be a servant. That'll help you whenever it comes to not becoming a Saul. There Saul is. He takes the javelin and he throws it to try to kill David. David escapes. And you know what David does? David goes and loves Saul's son. You know what David does? He brings Mephibosheth, Saul's grandson, brings him into the kingdom and gives him a seat at the table. Because David learned that attacking your Saul is not going to help you in life. You and I need to learn these simple things. Because listen to me very carefully, your Saul is going to come. He's sharpening his javelin now. Satan has him getting ready. He is practicing his javelin throwing skills. He's practicing them now. And whenever he comes, you and I need to know how to face our Saul. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask you a question this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you're facing a Saul. Maybe you're here this morning and you're becoming a Saul. Jealousy and that envy is beginning to build up, maybe of another bus route, or, you know, I didn't make the tour group, or I didn't get this, and you're becoming a Saul. Well, this is the place to get it right. This is the place to just do business with the Father and let Him help you in this area. Pastor Wilson.